born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. And do you open your eyes on such a one and bring me to judgment with yourself? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. Look away from him that he may rest. Till like a hired man, he finishes his day. For there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Hold in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. But man dies and is laid away. Indeed, he breathes his last breath. And where is he? As water disappears from the sea, and a river becomes parched and dries up, so man lays down and does not rise. Till the heavens are no more, they will not awake, nor be roused from their sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service, I will wait till my change comes. You shall call, and I will answer you. You shall desire the work of your hands. For now, you number my steps. But do not watch over my sin. My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and you cover my iniquity. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book, that they were engraved on a rock with an iron pen and lead. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns within me.
Good evening. I'd like to welcome you here this evening Thank you for coming out here tonight to support Crystal and his family, and I'd like to thank you from Crystal and the family for being here. What an opportunity we can have that we can come and honor Jerry tonight here. What a great friend, a great guy. I'm sitting back here thinking of some of the visits I had with Jerry through over the last year or so, and we'd had some good conversations, and I'm going to miss him. And I would always pull up in the driveway, or whether we sit down in the basement and meet with him, or sit down and chit-chat, or in his living room. And Jerry, I always kind of had I picked at him a little bit, and I said, Jerry, I got my Ford pickup truck sitting out there in your driveway just to make your place look better. And he would just shake his head at me. So, going to miss him. But thank you for being here tonight on behalf of Crystal and the family. We thank you.
Please pray with me. Father, we have much to be thankful for. Thank you for the many years you gave Jerry. Thank you for the family that you gave him, represented here. Thank you for the lives he touched, the friends he had, the church members that he shared life with. Thank you for all the ways that he was a blessing to us in this room and many others who were not. And Father, thank you for keeping your promises to bring him to yourself. Thank you that he has got his last wish, which was to go home and to see the Lord. So I thank you that his pain is over, his troubles are over. He is fully himself, fully alive, and full of joy. I pray that we would honor you tonight as we remember him. More than that, as we remember you and your good promises. I pray that you would bless the family. I ask that you would be honored and glorified through this service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Sets us free from mortal years to praise you evermore. Oh, Jesus, conquering the grave, your precious blood has power to save those who trust in you. Find that it is not.
next song will be a congregation song. So if everybody can stand, the words are on the back of the bulletin. And we're going to do all verses except for the one that start at the smiling of the river. So we'll do all of them except that.
If you join me, I'd like to pray specifically for the family. Amen. So will you join me in prayer? Let's pray. Dear Father, you are worthy of all of our trust. You are worthy of our trust when days come by and we miss people and wonder why they're not here still. There will be days very soon, if not days that have already been, where this family has looked for Jerry, and they've been reminded that he's with you. There will be a day for each one of us where we're going to have to stand before you, and that day has already come for Jerry, and you've welcomed him into your presence. And now as he's already there, in one way he's beat us and is waiting for us. But the interesting thing, family, that I want you to remember is as much as we want to think he's waiting for us, he's enamored. He's in love. He's in a deeper love than he has ever known his whole life through. In love with his Savior, in love with the God who laid his life down for him, who would purchase by his blood his redemption. And so, as he is there now in the presence of God himself, I invite you to ponder that fact, to know that Jerry is in a place now where there are no more shadows, only brightness of day. And that the weary body that he laid down is no more. No more will he be known as someone who suffers with the effects of a stroke that he's battled through for 20 plus years. Those days are over. Now the Jerry that you will one day meet on a new earth, you might barely recognize him as he walks past you, going to worship his God. So I invite you to rejoice, but at the same time I invite you to cry. Because as a Christian, you can experience both of those things in the exact same moment. They are not contradictory for the Christian, but they are complementary. Because in Christ, we can know pain and joy at the same time, because Christ has made it so. So please, God, look down on this event, this ceremony, and smile upon us. Give us your grace, and let us know your love fresh. In your Son's name, Jesus, amen.
Well, good afternoon. And I want to say again from the family, thank y'all for being here. And we want you to know that this is a joyous, happy time. It's not a sad time. Yeah. And thank y'all for coming to celebrate the life of Jerry Hull. We're going to sing a couple old heartfelt songs that we used to sit around in the house and sing years ago with Jerry. They were his couple of his favorite old songs. And so I'm going to do the best I can. I'm nervous as a cat, but we'll be all right. And it's for Jerry. And just bear with us, and I hope you enjoy these old songs and remember that these were Jerry's favorites. I thought number one would surely be me. Thought I could be all I wanted to be, and I thought I could be all life's sinking sand, but I can't even without you holding my hand. And I thought I could do a lot on my own. Thought I could make all alone, and I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high, valleys too wide, and down on my knees, that's where I learned to stand. And I can't even walk without you holding. I think I'll make Jesus my all in all. If I'm in trouble, then his name I'll call. If I didn't trust him, I'd be a less of a man, 'cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide, and down on my knees, that's where I learned to stand. And I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Well, down on my knees, that's where I learned to stand. And I can't even walk without you holding my hand. We'll do one more song, and this song I think Jerry had a lot more respect for. We learned it later. This song meant a lot to him, and I think it was after the strokes that we picked up on this song. And so we'll try it. My joy, you're my peace, you're my comfort in a time of need, you're my refuge, and you're the rock when I depend on, and you're the road to hope when the lights grow dim and the waves of doubt come crashing in. The anchor in the troubled storm, Almighty God. You're my joy, you're my peace, you're my comfort in the time of need, you're my refuge, you're the rock, the one I depend on, and you're the road to hope. Lights grow dim and the waves of doubt come crashing in. You're the anchor in the troubled storm, Almighty God. Will you bore the cross, Jesus? You bear the scars. You are my bride and shining star. You gave me sight, Lord, I might see the kind of man I should be. You came to die, Lord, and set me free, Almighty God. Yes, you bore the cross, Jesus, you bear the scars. You are my bright and shining star. You gave me sight that I might see the kind of man that I should be. You came to die, set me free, Almighty God. You're my joy, you're my peace, you're my comfort in the time of need. You're my refuge, you're the rock, the one I depend on. And you're the road to hope when the lights grow dim and the waves of doubt come crashing in. You're the anchor in the troubled storm, Almighty God. You're the anchor in the troubled storm, Almighty God.
Oh, this is going to be a little hard for me to get through. I am Jerry's oldest granddaughter, and I just wanted to thank everyone for being here today. For me and all of my family to celebrate my papa's life. He was a special man. A few fun facts about him. He had a love for anything Chevrolet. The color red was the only color he acknowledged on the color wheel. He loved to watch hummingbirds, and he loved his family and his country. Amen. He was a little set in his ways. Anybody that knew him personally would know. But if he called you a friend for life you would be. If he called you a friend, he would give you the shirt off of his back. I know that everyone says that, but it's just the best way to describe his generosity. To know him was to love him. His laugh was so infectious. Just hearing it would just make you laugh also. He also had a little side joke for any conversation that would make you chuckle. I have always had a special bond with my grandparents. That bond I will cherish forever. I can honestly say that he was the first man to show me unconditional love. And I never had to question if he would show up for me. If he told me he was going to do something, he would do it. He was a true gentleman. Some of my best childhood memories were with him. Him picking me up in his work van and taking me to get ice cream. Letting me go to job sites with him. And being his assistant, even though I didn't know how to use a tape measure. Coming to my t-ball games and softball games. These memories I will hold near to my heart. Now that he is gone. I loved him dearly and will miss him so much. But I know that he is in heaven with his true love. My mama, and they are the life of the party, I'm sure. My sister wrote some things she would like for me to share with everyone. A few memories I'll cherish forever with my papa were the simple things, like going over to his house when I was little, pretending to make him all kinds of gourmet meals, except it was out of mulching grass. Riding the golf cart around the block 50 times, him never getting tired of it. Him getting in trouble at one of my volleyball games for blowing his air horn inside the gym after we won. That was funny. They still talked about that. Oh, the beach trips, the lunch dates, all the phone calls, and the constant love and support. He was the best man and grandpa ever. And if there's one thing he would want everyone to know, it would be, don't take no wooden nickels. Thank you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that
Well, we've heard some good stuff, haven't we? It's like therapy for the soul. I love it. Praise the Lord for that. It is my privilege, Crystal, to serve your family. Thank you for letting me do this. Thank you for letting me be a part of your family. Thank you for supporting the part that I've had in your mom and dad's life. Thank you, family, for being here It's a privilege. You know, when I came in 2016 May exactly, I came, my wife Nikki and I and our two of our three children were with us when we moved here in June. And I remember in May of 2016, I was having regular conversations with Pastor Randy, who at the time was a deacon and the chairman of the search committee that brought me here. And I told Nikki my heart was going to be pulled right out of my chest if we had to leave the folks that we were shepherding as associate pastor in Fayetteville, North Carolina, where we had lived for 11 years. And I talked to Randy. I said, Randy, there's no chance I'm moving to Hickory if I don't start seeing faces and names. I'm not moving for a piece of property on a corner, but I'll move for people. And so I got a digital copy of the directory. Do you remember telling Tammy that? I didn't know Tammy at the time. Not this Tammy, a different Tammy that works here. I didn't know you at the time either, to be fair. But Tammy Davis, the next day, sent me a pictorial directory, and I started learning names. I did my best to learn names because I wasn't coming here to do anything but love and shepherd people in so much as they would let me. After I came, I knew names and faces, but some word association and name association really worked well for me. So I had to learn, first of all, Eli and Brenda. Eli and Brenda had their 50th wedding anniversary on the day that we came to get drilled by the search committee and by the deacons. And to get interviewed, forgive me, interviewed, the Q&A. And it took me right on over. Pastor Randy says, hey, I want you to meet someone. They got this the grandson that throws 90-some miles an hour. He's left-hand, da-da-da-da-da. And I said, yeah, let's meet him. And his grandparents are celebrating their 50th anniversary. So I came over and met Brenda and Eli. Eli and Brenda, however you want to say that, depending on who I'm talking to. And then I learned that Eli had a sister here, a couple sisters at the church, and I met them one by one. I was thrilled, and still am, to be in your lives and to call you friends. Jerry is my friend. I'm not speaking. I've been to a good many funerals. You have too. Memorial services, celebrations of life, whatever we label them now for everyone to feel better. And I have been to them, and I have known when I'm hearing from a pastor that doesn't know the person that we're talking about. Because of the hospitality of Jerry and Dorothy, I know them. They sat right there. Right, a couple rows from where Benji is, right there behind them. And Jerry was always in the aisle. And recently, as much as he could be, he was always in the aisle. And I think shortly after we got here, we went and visited them, sat in their living room, and they said, we made you a cake. You remember that, babe? And right after we got done visiting, because every now and then I'm like, I think we've stayed too long. I don't think that they want me here this long. Then we got up to leave. You know how you lean forward? It's kind of like a double clutch to see if someone stops you. It's kind of like what happens when you're at the restaurant. You want to know if the person across the table is going to pay, and so you kind of reach for your wallet and see if anything happens. And so I was kind of cocking myself out of the couch, and Jerry said, well, we thought we'd eat some cake. I said, I'm all about that. Let's eat some cake. And so we stayed longer than we had planned to, and we ate some cake. And, of course, we had sundrop. And so I learned that, first of all, Dorothy can bake cakes. And maybe, was it you, Crystal? Maybe it was you the whole time. Okay, so Dorothy makes the cakes, and so I'm really thankful. Then I learned that he was going to, maybe a couple years later when I was here, I got my very first pickup truck. I have no question, unapologetically, although I'm from Wisconsin, people assume that means I have something to do with cows. I have never been living on a farm. And so the closest that I've got to living on a farm is moving to Hickory. And we have had a lot of firsts here. My first hunting rifle, my first tackle box, my first fishing bait caster, I guess that's what they call them here. And I have now, and I think about 2 years after I got here, 2.5 years, I got my very first pickup truck. I did get the wrong kind, though, and your father told me that it was the wrong kind. And so I'd pull up with a Chevrolet, and we had many visits. Of course, we had visits before Dorothy passed, before your mom passed in July of 2019. But after she passed, then I made it a point to visit him every day. And when I couldn't, because right after that I went to Africa for a couple weeks, I made sure, I think Pastor John and maybe Pastor Zach went to go and visit every day. We wanted to make sure, because of how lonely he was, how lonely he felt. It wasn't your fault by any means. Family went and visited him all the time, sisters, brothers, you know, you. took good care of them. We went over there all the time. And what I would call ahead, usually, to call ahead so I can open the garage door. So we had a system. He didn't want to get out of the recliner, and I don't blame him. And so if I would pull up, I would call before I got there, and he would open the garage from his recliner. And I'd walk in through the garage. He didn't want to get up and go to the storm door. And so, because he really couldn't. And so he and I had many hours of great conversation. And then when Jake, my son, would come home, he is an Air Force vet. He has been for 5.5 years. So he and Jerry had this kindred spirit. My son followed my advice and did not get in the Army. He got in the Air Force. And he's currently in Korea. Jerry asked a lot of questions about mine and Nikki's son, Leah's brother, Jake, because they were Air Force. And he would always, one time he got some stickers and some Air Force paraphernalia and said, make sure when Jake gets home, he gets this. And then, of course, there's the time when I think, Kyla, he and you made a birdhouse that is in our home. It still is. It was at my office for a while, but now we have a birdhouse. It's the most heavy-duty birdhouse that I have ever owned. Very weighty. In fact, it will, I mean, if you put it on one of those things, it's going to bring it all the way down to the ground like a willow branch. It is huge. And all birds feel safe in that nuclear bunker that he called a birdhouse. And we're thankful for that. I have a lot of mementos from Jerry Hoyle in my life. Most of them memories. There was a stage where he spent most of his time in the basement where the garage went in. And so I would park my vehicle and usually regret it under the carport in front of the garage, because as soon as that garage opened, if it was warm enough, he would look at my Dodge and see immediately that it wasn't clean enough. And how many of you know this? The cloth diaper hit that Chevrolet in his basement maybe daily, and usually there was not a speck of brake dust on any of the wheels of either vehicle. Potentially, he subcontracted that out to a daughter or granddaughter or maybe a son-in-law, grandson-in-law, rather, because there was a few times I visited him, and you were on the riding lawnmower, Casey, and he thought the world of you. I'm sure you know that. We had a lot of great hours. I would ask him, can I bring you something to drink? And he would say, Sundrop. And, you know, I'm reading from a few verses in Proverbs 24, which may seem like an odd passage, but I want you to hear it and then know that I'm saying the exact opposite of my friend Jerry. Listen, do not fret because of evildoers or be envious of the wicked, for there will be no prospect for the evil man, and the lamp of the wicked will be put out. Basically, Scripture is promising that for all people who despise the Lord, the day is coming when the lights will be turned out on them. I am thankful that I had hard conversations with Jerry early on. Jerry, for those of you who knew him, was a man of few words unless you hit on a topic that he liked and was confident in. It's my unprofessional opinion that he struggled with confidence in a lot of areas, and he told me a few times that it was because he didn't learn to read very well. So it was often that I would read the scripture to him. And since this isn't, I don't think, on the internet, I feel comfortable telling you that having a mother who didn't learn to read until she was an adult really put me in a kindred spirit with Jerry. I'm so thankful for the time that I had with him. It made me slow down and converse with him on things that I thought were very important, because I knew this day was coming. This day was coming, where I would stand before a group of people and tell the truth about what I know about Jerry Hoyle. And there were many times that I preached the gospel to him in a much calmer, less bombastic way than what I'm accustomed to behind this podium, this pulpit. And I just wanted to be sure that the day would come when I wouldn't be lying to a room full of people. And I'm thankful the day is here, and I am certain that after the many times I said, Jerry, you know the gospel that I preach, and there are no alternative methods to getting to heaven. Only by grace through faith and trusting the gospel can you be saved. Is that your testimony? And he affirmed that, in fact, it was. Time and again, he said he was trusting the gospel. And just when I was praying that it would leak out in the last days of his life, I talked to Crystal, who tells me as I was on my way to Washington when I last week on Monday, that, in fact, one of the last conversations you had with him was unlike what I would have expected because of how much he loved your mom. I expected some of his last words to be, I can't wait to see Dorothy, or his name for her, Mama. But he didn't. He said what he told me in the hospital room. I can't wait to see the Lord. That is the fruit of a converted man. All of us want to see family that's passed on because we are filled with meaningful and frankly justifiable feelings of sentimentality when we can be reunited with people that we love. But sentimentality never saves a single soul. And we must trust the gospel. And I'm so thankful that of all the affections that he felt for his wife, he had more affections for the Christ who saved them both. And I hope, no matter what you think of me, that if I die before you, that you will hear not that I was just fantastic at this or good at that or loved doing this, but that my love for the Savior would be as pronounced as Jerry's was for his. And so I'm thankful for a particular writer from today who wrote of a man named John Bunyan and said, "Fret not, though they spoil," this is a man from the 1600s, "though they take your resting place, it is God that has bid them to do it, to try your faith and patience. Wish them no ill with what they get of yours. It is their wages for their work, and it will appear to them before long that they have earned it dearly. So bless God that your enemies did what they were supposed to do and made your heart ready for a land where you truly belong. How kind is it for God to deal with us when he chooses to afflict us for a little while so that with everlasting kindness he may have mercy on us." So yes, a stroke at 51 years old, I think, 23 years ago, and no question, I know that it bothered him. I know that he wished he could be more mobile and have a normal vehicle, that he didn't need special apparatuses to maneuver. But that was to prepare him in some unique way for a land in which that would not be an issue. So maybe you're wondering, potentially I'm talking to people in this room, it's been a minute since you've been in a house of worship. Maybe you're not even a Christian. You might be wondering, these ashes that are before us, what kind of body does Jerry have? When will he have his perfect body? Well, there is a great deal of passages in the scripture that talk about this in-between time between death and resurrection, where we have a soul sort of body that is shaped like the body that we have. For example, the rich man or Lazarus or the martyrs under the altar in Revelation 6. They have bodies. Very clearly, they're departed saints and they have bodies. But it is not his final body. And I would like to remind the family that though Jerry's body was marred with a stroke and then later on lungs filled with fluid, they were not supposed to be despised. Our bodies are not filthy. Our bodies are marked by a world that has been cursed because of the sins of you and I and all of our ancestors. But the day is coming when resurrection will occur, and Jerry and the rest of us who are believers in Jesus will get the perfect human body that we were intended on having before Adam rather ruined it for us all. And to be easy on Adam, he knows better now. So the light doesn't ever go out for the saint. And, you know, where is heaven? Isaiah 14 tells us it's above the stars of the north. How quickly did he travel to get there? Probably about the speed of light. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To depart, Philippians 1:20, and to be with Christ happens immediately. You only have two choices, to be in your body or to be with the Lord if you're a saint. You might be thinking, what does he now know? Does he know everything? Are all of his questions answered? And the short answer is no. Jerry does not have all of his questions answered, even though he's been in heaven close to a week. What questions does he have answered? When will he have all of his questions answered? Well, we need to be reminded of the definition of God. God is infinite and perfectly omniscient and has all understanding. And so some of those questions that plague our souls, our hearts, our minds of why did God allow certain things to happen to us and to die the way that we did. To remind you, Jerry, for all purposes, died early. I'm 78 years old is the extended or the expected lifespan of both men and women in America. He was one of the people that brought the average down to 78. Who has the answers for why he experienced the suffering that he did? God does. And it could be that for the eons and eons of eternity, Ephesians 2:7 says that in the ages to come, he will show us the exceeding riches of his grace. How many secrets does God have? He has the amount needed for ages to tell us all of his secrets. So he doesn't know everything, but he probably knows more than he did when he was here. And so you can be expecting, saint of God, that if you die in this life before the rapture, that you will have some time in heaven before the resurrection. I don't know how much time. Every day that we wake up, it's less time, thanks be to God, before our reunion with all the other saints that will be resurrected. What will we know in that time? What will we learn in that time? What will interest us? Probably, I just want to say that I don't know before his 52nd year what Jerry was like. I didn't know him then. I don't know what he likes doing all the time. I really appreciated your words, Kaylee. I will not stand up here and say unremarkable things like we really can't even imagine what heaven is like. Well, the truth is we can. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But family, the very next verse says, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. There are things that we can actually expect from heaven. And here's a way, as kind of a starter kit. Take the grandest version of your purest delight and magnify it with a lack of sin, a fullness of God, and an infinitely increasing wonder, and you have a good idea of what Jerry is enjoying right now. All the things that he loved that were pure are purer yet, and he is enjoying them in heaven. So the takeaway for us this evening is take those beautiful, pure things that you like and magnify them 1,000 times without sin, full of God, and be prepared to enjoy it forever as a saint of God. Be prepared that when you go to heaven, you're not going to say much more than, where is Christ? The certainty of death is before us. We may as well not fear it or dread it. It is the arch enemy of Jesus Christ, the fear of death. He came to destroy the fear of death. Hebrews 2 says it. And so for those who wish to know that heaven is their home, it does not happen automatically. In fact, the way is broad to damnation. The way is narrow to heaven. But if you will trust the Christ that Jerry trusted, you can go to the heaven that he went to. That is a beautiful thing. About 250,000 people die every day. They go somewhere. And there's no point in dreading that day. The fact that Jesus died to destroy that dread in your life, many of you have seen loved ones go before you, and you should look forward to the day of your transition. The reality approaches. You've heard of Alexander the Great. His father, Philip of Macedon, actually contracted one of his servants to come in every day and say, Philip of Macedon, you will die one day. Oh, the certainty of death, but the victory that Jerry experienced in facing it. So I constantly preached the gospel to Jerry to know that I could stand before you and say, that was my brother and he is my brother. To stand before you and say, he loved you and still loves you. To stand before you and say, the good man that you know is still a good man. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. I love our friendship, but I loved his soul more. And so we had difficult conversations, and I watched for the affections that he had for the Lord. I watched for a man who wished to be with God's people. I picked him up a time or two for men's breakfast, sat beside him at a volleyball game for Carson, and knelt to hug his neck nearly every time I saw him in that aisle. It was a privilege to pick up Sundrop on the way home, to call my wife, because they lived right off of Spencer Road, and we lived past that, and to say, babe, I'll be home right after I see Jerry. Those visits are over, but my visits with Jerry really aren't, because instead of going to see him off Spencer Road, I will go to see him in a perfect world. And for that, I am thankful. And that broadly leads, brothers and sisters, to joy, not dread. So allow this to be a day that ministers to your heart, and be prepared for grace that you have not yet experienced, as these sisters sung. Father, we pray in these closing moments of our time together that you would glorify yourself with this last song and with the military honors to follow. I pray that you would continue to enrich our hearts and minds and souls to fall in love with the world to come, where we will say instead of, boy, I wish life would get easier, which I'm sure Jerry did, I would feel the same way, that instead we would say, I am looking forward to seeing my Lord. In the mighty name of the one who has crushed both death and the fear of it, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. So good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Would you stand with me for the rendering of military honors? Family, you as well may stand. Jeremy, Crystal, thank you for allowing us to serve you in some way today. Friends, in just a moment, we're going to pray, and then the music will play, and the funeral director, Brother Swift, will come and lead the family to a meal below us in the fellowship hall for the family that's been prepared by folks in our church. Would you join me in prayer? Father, thank you for the opportunity to spend some time remembering the great life of a good man who is still a good man. Now, we know there is none righteous, no, not one, but being in Christ allows us to do works that we've been prepared to do from beforehand. And so we give you thanks for allowing us to remember this good life. Thank you for a good life. I pray that you would bless the family in days to come, as Pastor Jordan's already prayed, and I would ask you to help them to experience a special helping of grace from another world. Lord, as we close the chapter on this portion, we know that we won't ever be able to remove the memories and love that we have for Jerry Hoyle. So bless, Lord, his memory in our lives, and we will thank you. Thank you, King Jesus, for making this possible. Thank you, Father God, for sending your Son to give us the hope of a resurrection. For certainly the same God who scooped clay from the ground and breathed into it, and it became a living soul, can scoop ashes from an urn and do it again. We give you thanksgiving, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen.